Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. We'll go right into the book. And I'm going to back up a couple of sentences for context. Do not fear the last judgment, but welcome it. And do not wait, for the ego's time is borrowed from your eternity. This is the second coming, which was made for you as the first was created. The second coming is merely the return of sense. A return where? In your mind. In you. Can this possibly be fearful? What can be fearful but fantasy? And no one turns to fantasy until he despairs of finding satisfaction in reality. Yet it is certain that he will never find satisfaction in fantasy, so that his only hope is to change his mind about reality. So utterly simple. It doesn't say to think about changing your mind. It doesn't say to find a way to reason it out so that you can change your mind. As the now well-known phrase goes, just do it. Only if the decision that reality is fearful is wrong can God be right. And I assure you that God is right. Be glad then that you have been wrong, but this was only because you did not know who you were. See, you forgot who you were when you got your divorce from the Father. And now you think you are what you think you are, instead of what you really are. Had you remembered, you could no more have been wrong than God can. The impossible can happen only in fantasy. When you search for reality in fantasies, you will not find it. The symbols of fantasy are of the ego, and of these you will find many, but do not look for meaning in them. Something happens to you in your day. Something goes wrong. You say, "What was the meaning of that?" Don't you? You say, "What significance does that have for me in my learning process?" And then you think about it, and you imagine about it, and you can come up with some pretty fantastic imaginations of what the meaning must be, when the fact is that it is meaningless from beginning to end. And if you do succeed in coming up with an explanation of its meaning for you, you have a you have a meaninglessness defining something that was meaningless. In other words, the definition that you come up with is part of the illusion as well, is part of what has no meaning. Even though you seem to have created meaning for it, that actually gives the bad experience that you had some reality for you. The definition you give, or the explanation you give to the bad experience and its so-called value for you, is a symbol of fantasy. You've created a symbol about something that wasn't real in the first place, and the symbol is as unreal as the event that gave rise to your creating a symbol for it. The symbols of fantasy are of the ego, and of these you will find many, but do not look for meaning in them. They have no more meaning than the fantasies into which they are woven. Fairy tales can be pleasant or fearful, pretty or ugly, but no one calls them true. Children may believe them, and so, for a while, the tales are true for them. Yet when reality dawns, the fantasies are gone. Reality has not gone in the meanwhile. The second coming is the awareness of reality, not its return. Again, you are neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it, even though you think you are one or the other. You are at that point and must understand yourself therefrom. Again, the second coming is the awareness of reality, not its return. Behold, my children, reality is here. It belongs to you and me and God, and is perfectly satisfying to all of us. Only this awareness heals, because it is the awareness of truth. What is fantasy? Fantasy is the word used to describe the state of being asleep, the state of not being conscious of who you are, of what you are. Fantasy is you believing the definitions you have made up about everything, which means it is you being unconscious of what everything really is. And most all of you exist in that state because you don't hesitate enough. When you look at something, you don't hesitate a moment to say, what is really there? You don't hesitate long enough to say, Father or Holy Spirit, reveal to me what the real meaning of this that I'm looking at is. Reveal to me what God is being there from God's perspective. You don't hesitate enough to shift gears. And that's the key. Another way of saying it is you don't hesitate long enough to shift teachers. And there are only two teachers, the voice for truth and the voice for fear, or the voice of the ego. And let me remind you, you're always listening to one or the other of the teachers. There is no you that's able to look at things by yourself. As I've said before, you're always the puppet of something. Either you're the unresistant presence of God expressing Himself, or you're the unresistant presence of the definitions you and everyone else have made up, either privately or together. You're either being the expression of memory, or you are letting yourself be the expression that of that which is forever new, which is God moving, God being, which is creation. There's no middle ground. You're never independent. You're never not the puppet of a master. So, if you don't want to be bound in fantasy, you're going to have to hesitate a moment before you come to a conclusion about what you're looking at or seeing, to say, to make sure that you are choosing the right puppet master. Forget about cutting the strings from the puppeteer. That's not the goal of your existence. It's the goal of your ego, but it's not the goal of your being. Accept it. You are a puppet. You are not self-existent. There is no choice about it. The sooner you accept the fact that one way or the other you are a puppet, you will get down to the business of choosing who your puppet master will be. And the sooner you make that choice, the more rapidly you will come back to your senses. The second coming is merely the return of sense. When you think you have the option to be independent, and you fight for your independence, look, no strings. You are fighting for the right to continue to be ignorant about what you are. You are fighting for the right to continue to remain ignorant that the very source and fundamental of your being is God Himself. Now, how insulting can that really be? To abandon a sense of independent selfhood that absolutely inhibits you from knowing who you are, this allows you from experiencing the meaning with a capital M, the significant, awesome, divine meaning of your being, your presence, your being conscious. It should be insulting to you that the suggestion is made that you should hold on to this state of ignorance in which you cannot possibly feel your value and your worth. It shouldn't be insulting to yield authority to the Father when the result of yielding authority for your existence to the Father and yielding your apparent capacity to think for yourself to the flow of what of the Father's conscious awareness of being the movement of creation, that should not be insulting. That should be something you reach for with vigor, even. Behold, my children, reality is here. It belongs to you and me and God. And listen to this, is perfectly satisfying to all of us. Have any of you recently experienced a state of being purely satisfied? But that's your birthright. This apparent right to declare independence and self-existence is a hollow suggestion. That I encourage you not to validate any longer. It gets you exactly nothing. What it gets you is the absence of your direct experience of your worth, the direct experience of your validity. The direct experience of your divinity, the direct experience of your meaning, or we could say meaningfulness. Continuing, the next section is entitled The Unhealed Healer. Mind you, you're the puppet of one of two masters. There aren't any more to choose from, and there is no other state of being to experience. If you've chosen the ego as your master, then the ego's plan for forgiveness is what the ego will present to you. As your thought. The ego's plan for forgiveness is far more widely used than God's. This is because it is undertaken by unhealed healers. What's an unhealed healer? It's someone who's dreaming a dream. It's someone who has forgotten what he is and is trying to do the best he can in this state of amnesia. An unhealed healer is someone who isn't hesitating a moment to say, Father or Holy Spirit, What's the truth here? What's the truth about this or that or the other thing? The unhealed healer is the one who doesn't hesitate and ask, and then speaks up on the basis of his or her own acquired definitions of what is true, and then attempts to heal his brother or sister based upon that. The ego's plan for forgiveness is far more widely used than God's. This is because it is undertaken by unhealed healers and is therefore of the ego. Let us consider the unhealed healer more carefully now. By definition, he is trying to give what he has not received. Help, based upon past experience, which means based upon ignorance, built upon, in the absence of that one knowing what he divinely is, cannot be helpful. I have pointed out that it is necessary to have an object of your affection, that you have what you give, and what you give you get to keep. And so you have an object of your affection, but you don't try to initiate the affection from your memory or your tiny personal sense of yourself. You ask the Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? What needs to be known here? And you let yourself be infilled with it so that it overflows and extends to your brother, the one who needs healing. If you haven't hesitated a moment, stepped back, and said, Father, help me know what needs to be known so that I may embody it and give it expression. If you haven't done that, but you still try to help, you are an ignorant one trying to help another out of his ignorance. And that's not what I've been talking about. By definition, the unhealed healer is trying to give what he has not received. If he is a theologian, he may begin with the premise, I am a miserable sinner, and so are you. And so as not to get too intellectual here, it says, if he is a theologian. Do you think there's such a thing as a theologian? I mean, a real something out there called a theologian. Or is a theologian someone real out there that you have applied your definition of a theologian too? Does anyone know what a theologian is? Somebody will say, oh, of course I know what a theologian is. And if each of you said, I know what a theologian is, and you shared what it was, each of you would have not an identical response. Because a theologian to you is whatever that word has come to mean in your mind. And you want to know something else? There is a theologian in you. Well, you can talk theology. You don't say I'm a theologian, but you can think like theologians think. An unhealed healer, by definition, is trying to give what he has not received. If he is a theologian, and all of you are, that's what I'm trying to point out. All of you are theologians, and your definition of a theologian applies to you as well as to everyone else you pin the tail on. When you talk or think about theologians, you aren't seeing the individual there. Is that clear? You have your definitions and you apply them like a tail on the donkey. And so you don't see each other. So understand that when it says, if he is a theologian, this is speaking about you. Don't sit there in your spiritual advanced state saying, yeah, the theologians, duh. You know about theologians, yeah. All there is to the, all the meaning there is to the word theologian is the meaning you have come to accept. And it applies equally to you. So now, we're not talking about those theologians, we're talking about every one of you. If he is a theologian, if you are a theologian, you may begin with the premise, I am a miserable sinner, and so are you. See? In one way or another, all of you say this about each other. If he is a psychotherapist, he is more likely to start with the equally incredible idea that he really believes in attack, and so does the patient, but it does not matter in either case. How many of you practice a little psychotherapy from time to time on your brothers and sisters, and even on yourselves, without ever hesitating? And stepping back to say, in spite of how I would psychotherapize this situation or me, what is the truth here? What is the reality that's going on outside the box of all of the definitions I have come up with that I apply to others as well as myself? And don't ever think that what you're applying to others, you're not applying to yourselves. Continuing, we have repeatedly stated that the beliefs of the ego cannot be shared, and this is why they are unreal. How then can uncovering them make them real? Every healer who searches fantasies for truth must be unhealed because he does not know where to look for truth and therefore does not have the answer to the problem of healing. See, somebody's behaving badly, and the idea is expressed that they are behaving badly because of something that happened in their childhood. They may even feel that they are behaving badly because they are angry about the injustices that occurred in their childhood. That's not where the problem is. The problem is that the one behaving badly has forgotten what she is, has forgotten what he is. The presence of God, presencing himself right there. And that one thinks that he's an independent presence, having nothing to do with God, having no such source. Having, shall I say, no such credentials that state the awesome divine meaning of his or her being? There is an advantage to bringing nightmares into awareness, but only to teach that they are not real and that anything they contain is meaningless. The unhealed healer cannot do this because he does not believe it. Doesn't believe what? Doesn't believe that the definitions and meanings that he's applying to everything aren't true. Doesn't believe that there's meaning, with a capital M, beyond the meanings he is applying to himself and everything. An unhealed healer could be called an unconscious director of the state of consciousness. It's absurd. And if you see it in its absurdity, you will be able to more easily opt for asking for help and saying, Father, what is your perspective here? What is the truth here? All unhealed healers all unconscious directors of things follow the ego's plan for forgiveness in one form or another. If they are theologians, or if you are in your theologian mode, they are likely to condemn themselves, teach condemnation, and advocate a very fearful solution. Here's a fearful solution: projecting condemnation onto God and make him appear retaliative and fear his retribution. Now that idea is an imagination that can be called a symbol, a retaliative, jealous God. That's a symbol. It's a familiar symbol that almost everyone carries with them. And there is a fear of God. Why? Because someone, here it says a theologian, someone experiencing fear, because truly he no longer remembers what he is, has shared his fearful thought with another and found agreement. And then, because it's too difficult to own responsibility for the experience and say, I am creating this experience by refusing to pay attention to and be conscious of my source, that unwillingness to be honest causes the blame to be projected out there on God. It's as simple as that. Making him appear retaliative, and justification for fear of his, God's, retribution. What they have done is merely to identify with the ego, and by perceiving clearly what it does, condemn themselves because of this profound confusion. It is understandable that there has been a revolt against this concept, but to revolt against it is still to believe in it. You don't revolt against something that doesn't exist, do you? The only reason you revolt against something is because you think it exists and is real and has to be done away with. The solution isn't a matter of manipulating your memories. It isn't a matter of manipulating the dangerous world, the conflicted world you see, because you're in a state of inner conflict. The answer lies in leaving those things aside and saying, "Father, help," stepping outside the limits of your definitions and the self-meanings you have provided yourself, and letting something else in, breaking the isolation. That's what hesitating a moment before coming to conclusions means. It is understandable that there has been a revolt against this concept, but to revolt against it is still to believe in it. The form of the revolt then is different, but not the content. See, it doesn't matter how many forms of correction you try to bring to that which calls for correction. You can try to deal with disease medically. You can try to deal with it spiritually through prayer. You can try to deal with it naturopathically. But you see that no matter what the form of the correction is that you pick, you are still operating at the level of being an independent seer, not having hesitated and stepped back. And so no matter what form you are using, one is not better than the other. They are all equally meaningless. Because the only meaningful step to take is to break the isolation and say, "Father, share with me your perspective, because I have been told that it is my perspective by birthright, and I haven't been experiencing it. And my not experiencing it, I am told, has caused me to see everything erroneously and is responsible for the ever-present anxiety that I feel, the ever-present uneasiness that I feel, the ever-present vulnerability that I feel. And I don't want to feel it anymore. I'm willing to consider the possibility that this information that's given to me is correct. And so I will do the thing I don't understand. I will reach out into that which seems to be empty. I will reach out for you, whom I've never had, as far as I know, a direct experience of. Or if I did, they were, as far as I'm concerned, flukes, rare events, rare favors, which I feel tremendously blessed by, but they are nothing that I can feel confidently as an ever-present source. But I am going to reach out as though it's there. Please help. And then you shut up. And you make room for the response. Continuing, the newer forms of the ego's plans are as unhelpful as the older ones because form does not matter to the Holy Spirit and therefore does not matter at all. What doesn't matter to the Holy Spirit doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters to the Holy Spirit is what is real. And that matters. According to the newer forms of the ego's plan, the therapist, you, interprets the ego's symbols in the nightmare. Don't you do that? Wonder what meaning this bad experience has for me. Wonder what the meaning is of that person who's behaving badly has for me. So, in your ignorant state and your ignorant experience of the kingdom of heaven, you interpret the symbols that are occurring in your nightmare. Not realizing that that which is having the nightmare doesn't exist either, really. So according to the newer forms of the ego's plan, the therapist interprets the ego's symbols in the nightmare and then uses them to prove that the nightmare is real. Having made it real, he then attempts to dispel its effects by depreciating the importance of the dreamer. This would be a healing approach if the dreamer were properly identified as unreal, and I will add, as well. Yet, if the dreamer is equated with the mind's corrective power through the Holy Spirit is denied. In other words, if the definition of yourself that you have provided yourself is equated with your mind so that it ceases to be a definition that you're holding, but is your very experience of yourself, you're sucked totally into the illusion. You're believing the dream totally. And if the dreamer is equated with the mind's corrective power through the Holy Spirit is denied. Why? Because there will be no occasion for you to reach beyond. You are mind. You are consciousness. You are that conscious awareness which constitutes the experience of being infinitely, the conscious experience of creation. That is what you are. No definition has to be applied to it. I'm a good guy. I'm a sleazy girl. I'm a wonderful parent, a wonderful mother. I'm a poor provider for my family. No. You aren't any of the definitions or meanings that you've applied to yourself. And when you realize that you are conscious awareness, pure mind, that that is what you are, you will be able to see the definitions or meanings that you've applied to yourself as something you are taunting yourself with, teasing yourselves with. But they are ideas floating around which you are taking hold of and having fun applying to yourself. You won't be fooled into thinking that you are the definition. And then the mind's corrective power through the Holy Spirit is affirmed. And change can occur. Healing can occur. Enlightenment can spontaneously happen. I am keeping what could seem complex simple here. Just let what I'm saying abide with you. Continuing, it is noteworthy that this is a contradiction even in the ego's terms, and one which it usually does note, even in its confusion. If the way to counteract fear is to reduce the importance of the fearer, how can this build ego strength? These perfectly self-evident inconsistencies account for why, except in certain stylized verbal accounts, no one can explain what happens in psychotherapy. Nothing real does. Nothing real has happened to the unhealed healer, and he learns from his own teaching. Because his ego is involved, it always attempts to gain some support from the situation. Seeking to get something for himself, the unhealed healer does not know how to give and consequently cannot share. He cannot correct because he is not working correctively. The only way to work correctively is not to stand in the position of an independent corrector, an independent healer, an independent entity with certain talents, certain gifts. Because as long as it is a given that he is an independent entity, he doesn't stand in a position of receipt of his birthright from the Father, which, when given away, the healer gets to keep. That constitutes not a healed healer, but a healer. An unhealed healer and a healed healer both are nonsense. Because an unhealed healer and a healed healer would still have to be describing an independent entity. The unhealed healer believes that it is up to him to teach the patient what is real, but he does not know it himself. What is important about what we're reading about tonight is the fact that it is meant to promote the awareness that you are never anything more than a puppet, and therefore a puppet of one of the only two teachers they are. You have no capacity to accomplish anything on your own, and you never have. And this is the insulting truth that each of you has to accept and get past, so that you abandon trying to be independent and you are moved to reach out and break your self-imposed exile from home and from the Father, from your source. The unhealed healer is a goner. The unhealed healer can't be improved. The unhealed healer can't be changed into a healed healer. If you want to be a healer, you've got to find something in you that cares about your brother. And then you ask God to fill you with that which meets the human need in your brother's experience from the Father's perspective, and not based upon any interpretations you independently are applying to your brother and sister, and which lead you to conclusions as to what the correction should be. If you do that, you are filled with too much false confidence that will block you from hearing whatever might contradict it. And so you will defend your independent position, even though you think you're asking God for revelation, the revealing of the truth that will heal. I am indeed attempting to wipe out your confidence, or encourage you to invalidate the confidence you have in your personal, private capacity to do anything. Because until that confidence is negated, you will feel no need to reach out. You will feel no need to break the isolation. And thus your birthright will remain hidden from you. And it's not your birthright for it to be hidden from you. The unhealed healer believes that it is up to him to teach the patient what is real, but he does not know it himself. What then should happen? When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. Can you find light by analyzing darkness, as the psychotherapist does, or like the theologian, by acknowledging darkness in yourself and looking for a distant light to remove it while emphasizing the distance? Healing is not mysterious. Healing is not mysterious. Nothing will occur unless you understand it, since light is understanding. A miserable sinner cannot be healed without magic, nor can an unimportant mind esteem itself without magic. Both forms of the ego's approach then must arrive at an impasse. In other words, they can't succeed. You will come to a dead end. The characteristic impossible situation to which the ego always leads. And of course, that's where the statement, man's extremity is God's opportunity, makes sense. because it's when you get to the impasse that the opportunity is present to give up the arrogant and persistent attempt to be independent. It's the place where one can give up on a path that will not work and say, finally, help. I need help. Everything I have tried has not worked. I give up. I will not rely upon anything I ever believed. I'm reaching out for your perspective, Father. I'm reaching out for a perspective that's nothing like what I created for myself. Help. Now, continuing, it can be helpful to point out to a patient where he is heading, but the point is lost unless he can change his direction. The therapist cannot do this for him, but he also cannot do this for himself. The only meaningful contribution the therapist can make is to present an example of one whose direction has been changed for him, not by him, for him, and who no longer believes in nightmares of any kind. The light in his mind will therefore answer the questioner, who must decide with God that there is light because he sees it. And by his acknowledgement, the therapist knows it is there. In other words, when the patient sees it, it confirms what the therapist was seeing, and the therapist finds that it has been made his as well. That is how perception ultimately is translated into knowledge. The miracle worker begins by what? Perceiving light, not perceiving the problem. The miracle worker begins by perceiving light. Why? Because he didn't believe what the patient was saying, or his brother or sister was saying, or the presentation that was being made. Before coming to a conclusion, the, quote, therapist, unquote, hesitated a moment and said, what needs to be known here? What is the truth from God's perspective that needs to be known here? The miracle worker begins by perceiving light and translates his perception into sureness by continually extending it and accepting its acknowledgement. Again, the miracle worker begins by perceiving light and translates his perception into sureness. Now, what that means there, in translates his perception into sureness, it means makes it his own by giving it away. By continually extending it and accepting its acknowledgement. Its acknowledgement where? In the brother or the client, in the one who to whom the extension is being made. Its effects assure him it is there. it what? The truth. The meaningfulness of what was being extended. And thus, in the brothers or sisters or clients, acknowledgement of it, reception of it, it demonstrates the movement of God that has moved through the therapist, and the therapist knows that the movement of God is true and real and actual. And so he gets to keep what he gave, because in giving it and in its receipt, it proved experientially the actuality of it. And it wasn't just a concept being provided out of memory by an independent, separated entity. Now, listen to this. And I'm speaking to the therapist in each one of you. The therapist does not heal. He lets healing be. He allows it to happen by getting out of the way as an independent or unhealed healer, and lets God shine through by invitation. And in the shining through and the receipt of what has shone through, the healer makes his own or gets to keep what was given. And the apparent healer and the apparent healed are blessed in what? In greater self-appreciation and arrogance? No. In greater, awesome awareness that God is all there is to them, and they are what they are by grace, not by having earned it. The therapist does not heal. He lets healing be. He can point to darkness, but he cannot bring light of himself, for light is not of him. Yet, being for him, it, the light, must also be for his patient. The Holy Spirit is the only therapist. Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, is the only therapist. He makes healing perfectly clear in any situation in which he is the guide. Well, the only situation wherein he can be the guide is when somebody hesitates a moment before coming to a conclusion or a determination and says, I of myself can do nothing. Not my will, but thine be done. What is your will? And then he shuts up and fearlessly pays attention, listens. And because he cares enough about his brother, he listens for something that he anticipates will be of pure value and of such unconflicted meaning that the only possible effect it could have would be the dissolving of confusion, the entrance of transformational clarity. The Holy Spirit makes healing perfectly clear in any situation in which he is the guide. The human therapist can only let him, the Holy Spirit, fulfill his function. See? The unhealed healer thinks healing is a function he is supposed to perform. But there is no unhealed or healed healer. There is no independent entity. There is no entity that is not a puppet. At the end of strings that something else is holding. And so, as simple as it is, none of you wants to hear it. Your salvation, your fulfillment, everything you are looking for that is good and true about you will only be able to be found when you yield to that which is responsible for your existence. And you are not responsible for your existence. There is a God, and you are where God is presencing himself, and thereby presencing himself as all that is holy, all that is truly and really meaningful, all that is truly invulnerable, and all that could ever possibly be called respectable. The fulfillment you want, that you think you will lose when you give up your arrogant attempt to be independent. All that you will give up, all that you will lose when you give up your arrogant attempt to be independent, will be the amnesia, will be the unconsciousness of all that is beautiful and good and true and meaningful about you. You will be left with the very thing you have been looking for by trying so damned hard to be so damned good that you can prove your worth. Again, the human therapist can only let him, the Holy Spirit, fulfill his function. He needs no help for this, except to have you get out of the way. To have you stop blocking the movement of that which is nothing more than your right mind. He will tell you exactly what to do to help anyone. To help anyone he sends to you for help. And will speak to him through you. Oh, there we go again. I'm just supposed to be the mouthpiece for truth? That doesn't help me be anything in my own right. That just gives all of the glory to the Holy Spirit. I see, there's your ignorance. The Holy Spirit is nothing more than you, than your right mind. But until this that wants to stand independently as a creditable and valuable and valid entity that which wants to stand as an independent, valuable and valid entity that's concerned about not getting the credit is that which isn't actual, it isn't real. And the concern it expresses, which seems to be you expressing your concern, keeps you distracted from being able to make the choice for the Holy Spirit that would return your sanity to you by returning you in your whole mind as the Holy Spirit. And that's the simple way it works. He sends. He will tell you exactly what to do to help anyone he sends to you for help, and will speak to him through you if you do not interfere. Remember that you are choosing a guide for helping. See, you're never doing it all by yourself. You are always choosing a guide for helping, and it's one of the two voices. Remember that you are choosing a guide for helping, and the wrong choice will not help. But remember also that the right one will. Trust him, for help is his function, and he is of God. As you awaken other minds to the Holy Spirit through him and not yourself, not who you think you are, not your definition of yourself, you will understand that you are not obeying the laws of this world, but that the laws you are obeying work. Quote, the good is what works, unquote, is a sound, though insufficient statement. Only the good can work. Nothing else works at all. This course is a guide to behavior. Being a very direct and very simple learning situation, it provides the guide who tells you what to do. If you do it, you will see that it works. Its results are more convincing than its words. They will convince you that the words are true, and you will be able to keep, to have what you have given. If you do it, you will see that it works. Its results are more convincing than its words. They will convince you that the words are true. By following the right guide, you will learn the simplest of all lessons. Quote, by their fruits ye shall know them, and they shall know themselves. By the fruits of their sharing, you will know them. And by the receipt of the fruits of their sharing, they will have what they have given. They will know themselves more clearly. It is not bad news to find out that you do not have